forget, that is Smokey Wilson singing this morning all the way from wherever he is. And he will be here for our Veterans Day recognition dinner. Now, how many of you love the song, The Long Black Train? Well, we're going to get Smokey to sing it that night. But I trust that you'll be thinking about somebody that you can bring as we desire to minister and recognize these people that should mean so much to us. Amen. It was really neat. How, what was the song that the choir did?
Jesus Messiah.
Yeah. How the Lord just put those two together. I never said anything to Hal about the title of the message this morning, and he never said anything to me about the song, but it just verifies in my heart that we're on track in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 20. If you'll turn there this morning, going to be talking about the love of God. The love of God. How many of you love to be loved on? We like it when somebody loves on us. And I've known the Lord since 1977. I still do not understand God's love. Thankful I have it, amen, but I do not understand it. And even in preparation of this time this morning and trying to understand exactly what's being said here when it comes to the love of God, it's far beyond my comprehension. So I'm not the professional here this morning and surely don't come as the know-it-all in relationship to the love of God. I just know that He loves me and I'm thankful for that, and I'm excited about the fact that His love is eternal and it's going to continue on. Well, no matter what I do in life, He's still in love with me and I'm in love with Him. And my prayer is that some way God can convey through these words and any mere human words that I might say to all of us in this room, that we can go away with a better understanding of God's great love for us. Let's pray. Father, as we bow in Your presence this morning, Lord, we're enamored of the fact that You do love us. Doesn't make any difference who it is in this room. Doesn't make any difference where they are, what their station is in life. God, their position in the business world or how much money they have in an account. Doesn't make any difference according to their health. Doesn't make any difference according to their lifestyle. That You love everybody on planet Earth. And Your love is being extended to us even this very hour. That we might be able to know You in a greater fashion and come to understand. God, I admit this morning, I do not have the capability of conveying Your great love to people because I have a hard time understanding it myself. Lord, if I were You, I would have given up on me a long time ago. But I thank You, Lord, that You're consistent and faithful. And I don't know the hearts of these people here today. I know You do. And so I'm praying that, God, You'll minister. You will speak into people's lives, that great victories might be wrought in this place. There's somebody in this room today that needs to understand and hear the fact that God loves them. And so, Lord, we commit this service to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can look to You and believe You and trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." And look at verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." How do you get Christ in your heart? You just wake up one morning and say, "Okay, I think I'm going to put Jesus in there." The only way that you and I can get Christ in our life is by faith. And I'm not talking about just having a head knowledge, because if I were to ask each one of you personally, I'm sure that you would attest to the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God, that He loves you, that He has made Himself available to every single person in this room. But there's a difference in having it here and having it here. There's a misconception sometimes. I heard somebody say just this week, "Well, I hope I'm going to get in." If I had to live my life in such a way that I hoped that I would get in, whether it be on personal merit or by the skin of my teeth, although I've never seen any skin on people's teeth. I don't know where that came from. It's by faith. That means that you have to believe and trust in a God so much so that you're willing to talk to Him and ask Him to come into your life and to change you. And friends, that's where it's at. It's by faith. Believing in Him enough to put your eternal state in His hands and trusting Him. Not just having a mental consent over the fact that He's real, but moving it from here to here, where it brings about a changed life and you feel and know that God is doing things and active in your life and that He is a very important part of your life. Not just believing all the cutesy things about Jesus, but knowing for certain that heaven is going to be, well, I don't think you can know. Well, then you don't know the Bible. Because the Bible says you can know. And I know some of you in this room, you've heard that 1,000 times, maybe more than 1,000 times. But let me ask you a personal question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Well, think so, hope so, maybe so. No, my Bible says you can know so. And that's what He's saying. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounding in love, listen to this, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's burn was just to make sure that people knew God. And his burn was to make sure that they were rooted and they were grounded in there. There are different phases of love. How many of you have ever been experienced with puppy love? How many of you, when you were probably in kindergarten, had a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Or elementary school? Maybe as a junior high, that you just loved somebody and you just were so enthralled with who they were. And it was classified as puppy love. Your parents said, oh, it's just puppy love. You'll get over it. But I remember as a youth pastor, I said to a parent one time, because she came in and she was all upset over the fact that her son was in love with a girl that, you know, they were in the third grade. And, you know, she was, I don't want him with her. I said, it's just puppy love. Her response to me was so real. She said, yeah, but it's real to the puppy. Yeah. And that's so true. There's puppy love. Then there's romantic love. You know, when you first get married and you, wow, you're just living on love. Amen. Flying high. I love to go through marriage counseling, and somebody in here went home and told their parents that the preacher tried to talk us. I said, I think he's trying to talk us out of getting married. I said, no, I'm just being honest with you. That romantic love seems to wane after a few years. I met a lady yesterday that had been married for 72 years. And then you move from romantic love to committed love. I've made the statement before, and I think it's so true and fitting, if you'll be honest, sometimes you don't always love each other. But you stay together because you're committed to one another. That's a committed love. That I'm in here for the duration. We're going to make it through this thing. Come hell or high water. And those are some aspects of love that Paul's saying, listen, I want you to have a understanding. I want you to be able to comprehend. One of the illustrations that one of the commentaries made was, and I'm not sure what kind of monkey this is, but it's a little monkey that can hang by his tail. And he has the strength to be able to wrap his tail around a limb, and then he just hangs by it. He said, to get it down to the place where you and I can understand it is for that, just like that tail of that monkey grasping the limb of the tree, I want you to be able to carry the idea of mentally grasping in your heart and mind what it means to be loved by God. and to truly not just have a mental consent over what love is, but in the verse 19, growing personally in your experience of his love. Let me answer your question. Are you more in love with him today than what you were a month ago? Do you sit here today, like many that even myself included, and questioning the love of God? What does it really mean? You know, sometimes it's easy to question love between human relationships. Do you really care for me? You really love me? But think about what Jesus has done for us as we look through the four aspects, what four-dimensional definition of what true God-like love is. He said, I want you to be rooted in it. I want you to be established in it. I want you to know it. I want you to understand it because I want you to be able to walk in the fullness of it. First of all, Roman numeral number one, what is the width of Christ's love? You know, trying to put boundaries on the love of God is extremely difficult. It can't be done. Because when you talk about the width of Christ's love, it's universal. In other words, it's as broad as humanity. Now, bless some of you, you've never been out of Cal, and some of you maybe never hardly been out of the state of Virginia. I think first time we went to South Africa in a trip from here, we had a couple different ladies that had never flown before. And I tell you, that's a big step to go from not flying to get on a plane 15 hours, cross the ocean and get into a foreign country. Some of us think Danville's foreign country, amen. And you know, to go to another state, that's way out there. But I'm talking about a love that's universal, and that word breadth means something full of width. You know, the neat thing about God is he doesn't have any stepchildren. His love is extended to all of us in this room. And not in just this in this room, but in the state, the United States, and all over the world. It doesn't make any difference whether you're red, black, purple, pink, or got orange polka dots. God loves you. Any person in this room, he's in love with you. And the neat thing is that he's seeking a love relationship with you that's real and personal. Well, I don't feel it. Well, does that mean it's not happening? Not only is it universal, but secondly, it is immense. Now, when he talks about it being broad, he's also making reference to the fact that it's not shallow. You know, if you keep a body of water within the confines of the borders and it's deep, once it branches out into a bigger area, many times it becomes very shallow because it's got a bigger space to engulf. And so many times it thins out, but that's not like the love of God. God's love engulfs and encompasses a big area, and there's nothing shallow about it because it runs so deep and it's mighty. The breadth speaks of the fullness of the love of God. Thirdly, it's individual. Now, you know, trying to bring this into perspective in my little mind was difficult, but I think we got it. It's not only universal, but it's individual. And as somebody said, it is broad as mankind, but it is narrow as me. In other words, God can love a man around the world 10, 20,000 miles away. But yet he can love me just as much as he would love that person. And many times in life, we don't really feel God's love. You ever had those experiences? Especially when you do something wrong. Especially when you haven't stayed focused and stayed on track. And your life gets a little out of kilter. And you feel like God's love is waning. It's not, friends. Because there's a breadth to his love and the width of it covers a multitude. Scripture says he loved me and gave himself for me. Put your name in there. I would venture out to say there's somebody in this room today that's lost. You don't know for certain that heaven's going to be your home. And you've questioned his love and how much he really loves you. It's proven out in the width of his love. Secondly, the length of his love. It is the length of eternity. Let me ask you a question. How long is eternity? How do you explain that? There might be some people in here that can make a stab at it, but that's a difficult thing to put into words. It's just something that goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There are people that believe you can lose your salvation, but how can you lose something that you're going to have forever? Let me ask you a question. When somebody passes away, does your love cease for them? Because they move from one state to another state. I had to be in Lynchburg this week and I went by my parents' graves. I know they're not there. But I can tell you for just a few moments that I was there just stepping on that property and looking at those tombstones sent me reflecting back. With some great memories. But just in my heart thinking about the fact, you know what? The length of eternity. That even though things change in life, love keeps on. Even though my parents are not in front of me, you know what? I still love them. And I can still remember my mama hugging me and looking at me and saying, "You're so cute and I love you." I said, "Keep coming. More, more, more." Throwing a couple Whoppers and a big bucket of KFC, we'll be doing good, Mom. It is the length of eternity. It outmeasures all human sin. Aren't you glad that there's no sin that you and I can commit as a child of God that can't be reached by the love of God? Hey, listen, if you're feeling guilty this morning, it's not God's fault. Because there's a love that flows from his heart that's big enough and wide enough and has enough length to it that it can reach out and grab you wherever you are. We're sinful people. Our heart is bent on sin, and it's easy for you and I to fall into that. His love is expansive. In other words, it never fails. It never falters. It goes as far as it needs to reach wherever you are in life. If you're not feeling his love this morning, friends, that's not his fault. That's ours. Roman numeral number 3, we talk about the depth of Christ's love. Now, there's something interesting here when you talk about depth and height and measuring. You're talking about expressing the same dimension, but just in a different way. From one, we begin at the top and go down, but from the other, we begin at the bottom and come up. When we talk about the depth of his love, we're talking about it starting at the throne of grace and extending how far down? How far does it go? Number one, we need to understand that it originates in God's heart. It was God seated on his throne one day and said, "Hey, you know what? I want to love somebody." That's a song, isn't it? Did Elvis sing that, Ginger? No, he didn't sing that. Okay. It originated in his heart that he was going to create man and he was going to love man. And his love for mankind was going to be infinite. And that originated in him from the top of the throne. It was measured down, and the distance that it came was to the manger of Bethlehem and the cross of Calvary and the sepulchre in the garden. That the love that originated in the heart of God moved down to the place where we saw and we continue to see it being carried out by the Son of God. You know what the neat thing about Jesus is the fact that he's just as much alive today as he's ever been. And my Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and I. He's praying for us. And you see, when we talk about the depth, how deep Christ's love is, it originates in God's heart. It's carried out by his Son, and it extends to the depth of our sin. Some, when they talk about the depth of sin, we have to take in consideration that sin is like a cesspool in the lives of Christians. and the world alike. All through the scripture, we've seen men that had a tremendous heart for God, but they bottomed out and did something to the effect that broke the heart of God and went into the depths of despair to the point that it changed their life. Now, it didn't change their standing with God, but it changed their relationship with God. There's not a sin that I couldn't go out here this afternoon and commit. If I wanted to go out here and commit sin, I can go do that. And every single one of you can do that. Sad commentary is some people do. But because we commit those sins, it's not gonna destroy our standing with God, because if you know Christ as your Savior, friends, you're in there. You've been given a gift of eternal life that's eternally secure. Now, you'll do great damage to your testimony, and you'll do great damage to your relationship with the Lord. I mean, look at David's life. David's life was never the same after he sinned with Bathsheba. And don't think for a minute that you and I can go over here and sin and it doesn't affect anybody, because it's going to affect a multitude of sins. We're still reading about David's sin and talking about it today. You see, the love of God originated in the throne and reaches down to the depths of wherever we end up in this thing of life, and living it in such a way that we choose to walk in sin or walk in victory. What is the height of Christ's love? Well, the Hubble Space Telescope cannot venture out far enough to see the end, and where there's a definite end to the universe. I think it's cool. I love it when these scientists weigh in and say there's a meteor or meteorite that's headed to planet Earth, and one of these days we're going to be all destroyed. Well, who cares? My Bible says that the Earth is going to be destroyed. But you know what? For us that know Christ as our Savior, we're taken care of. When we talk about the height of his love, it's immeasurable in its existence, and it towers above us. Out there in the cosmos and beyond the cosmos, somewhere is the throne of God. And there he tabernacles. And there he is extending to you and I. As somebody said, it gleams like the shining cross on top of some lofty cathedral spire. It does not flash inaccessible nor lie before us like some pathless precipice upon which nothing that has not wings can ever hope to rise. But the height of the love of Christ is a hospitable height which can be scaled by us. I don't understand it, but I just know that it's bigger than me. And I recognize that his love towers above us, but secondly, it serves as guide through the darkest of night. How many of you have walked through tragedy and difficult, and when the lights went out, there was something that gripped you, the fear of the unknown? I appreciate so much you guys praying for my mother-in-law. She's gone through a very difficult time. 95 years old, I can't imagine what it's like to not to be able to rationalize. You know, it's so easy for us because we have our capabilities. Now we forget some things, amen, thank God for sticky notes. But sometimes when the lights go out, we've gotten phone calls in the night when my mother-in-law was fearful, crying. She says, they're moving us from bedroom to bedroom. I don't know where I'm at. As I sat by her bedside the other night, you know what the only thing I'd say to her? God loves you, lady. He's there for you. He says, fear thou not, be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness. You don't think that love touches a heart and a life? You don't think it works in the midst of despair? And maybe you haven't been there yet, but I can tell you this. It'll shine like the new day sun, friends, in the midst of a dark world. And some of you walk through that darkness and you could shout the roof off this place because you've experienced what it means to have God's love accessible to you. A 100 years ago, a nurse was cleaning out an insane asylum, a room where a man had passed away. As they were readying up the room for the next mate to come, she noticed over in the corner, just at the headboard of the bed, there were these words that were scratched out on the wall. And this is what they were. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole through though stretched from sky to sky. What some were thinking of a man that was instituted because he was insane knew something about the breadth and the width and the depth and the height of the love of God that he could pen those words. Friends, what do you know about the love of God? Is it something that your heart clings to every single day? Do you express appreciation to God for his great love? Do you comprehend it? Do you understand it? Is there a block there somewhere that just keeps you from really coming in to the fullness of what Paul is saying here and understanding that love? That's where I'm at, friends. 42 years. I still want to be able to comprehend it. I still want to be able to grasp it. I want it to be able to carry my weight just like that little monkey's tail wrapped around the limb that he can swing by his tail and let the grip and the grasp of that little tail keep him afloat. I want in those darkest hours, in those difficult times, to be so moved by God's love with an understanding that it's going to be okay if nothing ever changes. Do you possibly need today to say, oh God, teach me something concerning your great love, that I might be more moved in my heart and know what it means to walk in the fullness of that love? I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again because I think it's one of the greatest illustrations of having an understanding of the fullness of the love of God. But you've used this illustration before. Yeah, I've used same gun, shoot a deer. Amen. You don't throw your gun away because you kill a deer. When I heard that illustration years ago, it made sense to me, and it's helped me in my life. To stand out there in the ocean with a styrofoam cup, 12, 8, 16 ounce, whatever you like, and stick it down in that ocean water and let that cup fill up with that ocean water. Then you pull that cup up out of that water and your cup is filled with the fullness of that ocean. You and I might have a little bitty thimble, but I can tell you this, friends, if you'll shove it deep down in the love of God, your little bitty thimble will be filled with the fullness of God's love. That will be sufficient and suffice in every situation of life. It'll heal a hurting heart. It'll mend up broken hearts. It'll bind up wounds. It'll save your soul. It'll prepare you for eternity. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Are there some here this morning that you just need to have a conversation with God? Being honest and transparent. God, I don't understand your love. For some, it might mean saying, God, I don't feel your love. I've prayed for people before, not only for people to have an understanding, but for people to feel his love. At the beginning of the sermon, I asked you this morning, how many of you enjoy being loved? We like to feel it, don't we? God's not a killjoy. I think there are times in life that in our feelings, because friends, he created us with feelings. That there are times he can convey to you and I, even in our flesh, that he's real. That he's there and he cares for you. But maybe there's somebody here this morning, hard, calloused. You're not convinced. Would you be willing to pray right now, oh God, show me. Somehow, some way, would you convey to me the truth and the reality concerning your great love? Are there Christians here this morning who say, preacher, I know God loves me. I rejoice in his great love for me. Would you take a minute to thank him this morning for that? Because it all originated in his heart. And if you need to embrace that love today, you're only a prayer away from asking Jesus Christ to extend his love to you and save you and forgive you and give you a gift of eternal life, where one day when you take your last breath and cross over, that you'll be in his presence. Father, thank you this morning that we can get a little glimpse into the love of God. Thank you, Lord, that you love every single person in this room. And you love us with an everlasting love. And so I pray that we would utilize and take advantage of what we got. And we'll be sure to praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, we pray. Would you stand, please, as we sing this hymn of invitation?